don't can't hear me, then we'll switch it off. So this afternoon, I would like to look at feelings, but it's very important to see that I'm not talking about emotions. This is something else, and I'll talk about it during the next retreat. But here, we're talking about Vedana, which is feeling tone. And of course, they have something to do with emotion. It's a bit the starting point. And to me, this is what is interesting, is through meditation to be able to look at the feeling tone, at kind of, you know, what is the beginning, what is the root of the way we feel and how we react to it. And the Buddha was very aware of it, because again and again he talked about Vedana, about feeling tone, about the tonality of experience as we come into contact with it. So there is contact, and then according to condition, there will be different feeling tones. So I would like to read first different things from the sutta about it. And first, when we do this meditation, we have a lot of scope of where we look at it. Because as he said, there are these six bodies of feeling. Feeling born of eye contact, ear contact, nose contact, tongue contact, body contact, and mind contact. So basically, through our senses, whenever we come into contact, there will be a feeling tone. So when we hear a sound, when we smell something, when we taste something, through the sensation in the body, and also through the thought we have. One moment we don't have a thought, next moment we have a thought, and out of that contact with that thought, then there is a feeling tone. Pleasant, unpleasant, neither pleasant nor unpleasant. And so that's what the Buddha says. And how does one abide contemplating feelings as feelings? Here, when feeling a pleasant feeling, one understands, I feel a pleasant feeling. When feeling a painful feeling, one understands, I feel a painful feeling. When feeling a neither painful nor pleasant feeling, one understands, I feel a neither painful nor pleasant feeling. So basically, I mean, again, this is kind of just like a quick shortcut analysis, that we have pleasant feeling tone, unpleasant feeling tone, and what we would call more neutral feeling tone. But generally we have a kind of interesting reaction to that neutral feeling tone, which generally the Buddha described more as neither pleasant nor unpleasant. But I'll talk more about it shortly. So that's what he says. So basically from the two quotes, we have a practice. When we sitting in meditation, for example, we could be doing the breath meditation. And then we do the breath meditation, we're aware of the breath, and then we're aware of what is the feeling tone of that experience. Or if we do body scanning, sensation in the body, we're aware of sensations through the body, and then we notice the sensation and also the feeling tone of that sensation when we have the contact. If we focus on the sound, which I would recommend as a very good practice, so we focus on the sound, so we with the sound and at the same time with the feeling tone of listening to that sound. When we do walking meditation, then we can do it with what we see, in a way, visual contact meditation. Whatever we see in front of us, again, what is the feeling tone of that contact? when we focus on the mental thought, on the thought, just again, noticing the thought, noticing the feeling tone of that. So in a way, we can do it with any meditation we generally do in terms of awareness meditation. And it's just that what is interesting is that you don't have to do much. You just listen to the sound, and then it's just a little added awareness, which actually makes you even more focused, because you have to be even more really there. And I possibly can give you the answer. When you sit in meditation, most of the time, it actually is neutral. I mean, this is my experience. Most of the time, it's fairly neutral, which to me indicates something, that the baseline of our experience is generally more neutral. When generally, we think that the baseline is pleasant. And I think what the Buddha is showing us is a baseline is unpleasant, and then we go up or we go down. And then what do we do with that? And that's what the next quote is, a little long, but bear with me. So, dependent, for example, with the visual contact, dependent on eye and visible forms, eye consciousness arises. Coming together of the three is contact. With contact as condition, there arises what is felt as pleasant or as painful or as neither painful nor pleasant. So that's what he says. You see something or you hear something, you feel something, you sense something, you think something, and there is a contact. And with the condition of that contact, generally you have pleasant, painful, or neither feeling tone. Then this is where it gets interesting. If on experiencing the contact of pleasant feeling, one does not revel in it, and if no underlying tendency in one to lust for it any longer underlies it, if on experiencing the contact of painful feeling, one does not sorrow, weep, or become distraught, and if no underlying tendency in one to resistance to it any longer underlies it, if on experiencing the contact of neutral feeling one understands it as it actually is, then indeed one shall make an end to suffering by abandoning the underlying tendency to lust after pleasant feeling, by dissolving the underlying tendency to resist painful feeling, and by abolishing the underlying tendency to ignore neutral feeling. And this is interesting, because this is a key. Because if you experience a pleasant feeling, let's say you have a weekend with your wonderful friends, wonderful weekend, and they leave the door, and when they leave the door, what do you say? Let's do this again, meaning let's do exactly the same thing, so we experience exactly the same feeling. So generally when we have a pleasant feeling tone, we want it to continue, or we want to repeat it exactly. This is it. And so in a way the Buddha is saying, first, yes, there is a feeling itself, and you know, if you get too excited about it. But then there is also the underlying tendency to want more of it, to repeat it exactly the same way, and then to try to engineer your life so you have exactly the same experience. Same thing with the painful feeling. He says, you know, when there is a painful feeling, do we sorrow, do we weep, do we become distraught in such a way that in a way we become obsessed by it? And then underneath this rejection, because generally that's what happens, something is painful, unpleasant, it's immediate. We don't want it. We push it away, and actually as soon as we do that, we add something to it. And actually it makes it more difficult for us to actually creatively engage with it. And then what is interesting is also with the neutral feeling. He sees that there is a tendency to ignore it. And by not being conscious of it, then we only consider pleasant and unpleasant. And so there is no more baseline. But the Buddha says, and that's what is interesting, because he said, having sense, abandon favoring or opposing, one will feel any feeling, whether pleasant, painful, or neutral, he does not release them, affirm them, or hold on to them. So he's not saying you don't experience them. This is very important. He's not saying you don't experience pleasant, unpleasant, neutral feeling too. He's saying you have a different relationship with it. But then he adds something which is very interesting. And he says, pleasant feeling is pleasant in virtue of presence and painful in virtue of change. Painful feeling is painful in virtue of presence and pleasant in virtue of change. And neutral feeling is pleasant in virtue of knowledge and painful in virtue of want of knowledge. Let me rephrase it. Basically, he's saying, as long as pleasant feeling continue, it's pleasant. As soon as they stop, it's unpleasant. As long as painful feeling continue, it's painful. As soon as they start, it's pleasant. Then with neutral, when you don't understand them, it's unpleasant. When you understand them, it is not unpleasant, it's pleasant. First two. It's interesting, the first two, because especially the second one, about pain, when it stops, it becomes pleasant. This has been confirmed in scientific experiment, because people thought, in the medical field, that if they had less pain, longer, people would more easily do certain medical procedure. And they found out the opposite, that actually they preferred sharp, short pain than longer, less painful pain. Because, by contrast, when it stopped, it's so pleasant. Because it lasts a long time, even though it's less painful, there is less of that contrast when it stops. So the Buddha really showed us something here. That in a way, when something stops being pleasant, if we attach to it straight away, it's unpleasant in comparison. It's pleasant in comparison. So in a way, to see, what do? Because there is not only the fact that we have pleasant and unpleasant, we also have what happened when they stop. And what do with that? When they stop, and when they stop. But the more even interesting is with the neutral, neither pleasant nor unpleasant. He says, if we don't understand it, it's painful. And this is why neutral feeling has such bad press, especially in the Western world, that it's totally, what neutral feeling, what will you tell me? Boredom. And that's what I often hear about meditation, it's boring, you know, boredom. Terrible. It's boring. I am boring. My life is boring. Everything is boring. Everything is meaningless, etc., etc. I mean, we go very fast. But the Buddha said, look, neutral is a baseline. We go up and then we go down. And when there is neither pleasant nor unpleasant, it is peaceful. For him, it is equanimity. This is where equanimity comes from this neutral baseline. And to me, this is a theme. A lot of the time in meditation, that's where we are. Often I find people are sitting in meditation waiting for something special to happen, pleasant, sometimes even special to happen, unpleasant. But not that generally, when we sit in meditation, we're all taken care of, we don't have much to do, nothing is happening. It's going to be neutral. And in a way, the Buddha is saying, if you understand that neutral, then you can just rest in it. Nothing is happening. It's peaceful. I can just, you know, rest in that, be with that. And in that way, become more aware of that feeling tone of neutrality. instead of looking either for pleasant and then rejected unpleasant, to see that a lot of the time we are neutral, and it's not bad. But we have this very strong association because our baseline is that we should be at least pleasant to that degree. And then, you know, you add a bit more pleasant, and then as soon as it goes underneath, then we kind of, it's terrible, you know, etc., etc. And so I think the Buddha is saying, look, first look what's going on. Look, what are the feeling tones? And first, in a way, can we be aware of the feeling tone? I know for myself, it took me a long time to do this meditation because I did not get it. Because I would sit in meditation, I would look at the feeling tone and there would be nothing. I would try to. And generally, there was nothing. Until I thought, oh, this is neutral. This is neutral, it's not nothing, it is just a neutral, not pleasant, not unpleasant, that's just... And I realized that a lot of my life is like this, but it's not unpleasant. It's quiet, it's peaceful, and I can rest in it, and I can act from it. And so in a way, through the meditation, to kind of be aware, not abstractly, but in the experience, and try to see if we can become more aware of that tonality of experience. Because I think if we become aware of the tonality of experience, we become more aware of what he says would be the end of suffering, to seeing that I want more of the pleasant, I don't want the unpleasant. So we're in a way always in a fight. I want more of this, I want less of that. Instead of the Buddha saying, look, these things arise upon condition, inner conditions, outer conditions. How can you creatively engage with it? And how can you not add anything to it? To me, this is in a way what the Buddha is showing us, that we, a lot of the time, we add to things. When something bad happens, do you just say, oh, something bad has happened. This is difficult right now. This has happened right now, and that has happened right now. Or do you say, it's always like this. It will always be like this. So that very quickly, you're not here. This is what is interesting. Generally, you're not here. You cannot move back to see all the bad things either you've done or somebody else done. It works also with other people. If they've done something bad, it's not just in that moment they did it, but you kind of look backward, all the bad things they've done, you know, and then all the bad things they will do. So, I mean, they become this awful, I mean, really, really bad person. Because in a way, we add something. Instead of, okay, what has really happened right now? Can I be with this feeling? Because to me, meditation is, in a way, the creative awareness as these two aspects of acceptance and transformation. The first thing, by becoming aware of the contact and the feeling tone, then we can really see what is going on. And we see, yes, that is what is happening. Acceptance does not mean resignation. Often this is interesting. When you say acceptance, generally, everybody says, oh, but that means I accept everything. I don't do nothing. I just sit there. And anybody can beat me up. No, 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 no. The Buddha never said that. But in a way, before you can transform something, you have to be aware of it. You have to know it fully. Inner conditions, outer conditions. What is going on? And so, you know, we have to see. To me, in acceptance, there is seeing clearly without judgment. Kind of like a priori judgment. But just looking, what is going on? Is it beneficial or not? Is it helpful or not? Can I do something about this or not? Because sometimes we can't. With the best of intention, we cannot change the situation. You can't change yourself, you can't change the other person. I remember when I was in Korea as a nun, I was the only French nun in Korea at the time, so I was slightly famous, minor famous, and so I would appear on TV or I would appear in magazines. And whenever there was one of these appearances, I would get letters from young Korean boys or girls asking me for money. So very interesting. I was a nun. I had no money whatsoever. And so I would kind of feel for them. You know, I would feel, oh, I want to do something for them. And so I would generally send them, you know, if I had, you know, $5, which was all my property at the time, I would send it to them. And I would say, I'm so sorry, but that's all I have. And so in a way, I had to accept that they wanted something from me that I could not give them. And so there was a slightly painful feeling for me that I could not do anything. And at the same time, I had to accept my condition. I was a nun. I could not do anything financially for them. I could talk to them, but that I could not. That's not what they wanted. Obviously, they thought I was like a kind of like a bank account or something. So in a way, to see with this creative awareness, which for me comes from knowing the feeling told, and then in a way starting to see our automatic reaction. Pleasant, I want more. Unpleasant, I don't want it. And the automatic reaction stops us from actually creatively engaging with it. To see, do I just have to accept it knowingly? Or can I transform this? Can I transform my inner condition? Can I transform my outer condition? When I was teaching a retreat on habits and patterns, because that's one of my interests, I was teaching, and so I gave them an exercise, a group of 20 people. I told them to do this. First, they thought it was a bit weird, but I said, try it. So I said, you go into your bedroom, because they had individual bedroom, and there was a shower, there was a mirror, and there was a toilet, and outside there were flowers. So I said, first, you look at each of the things, shower, mirror, toilet, flower, for 30 seconds. You just look, next, next, next. And you observe your feeling tone at that moment. Then I said, you do it again, but then you stay 3 minutes on it. And you stay with it. And how does it feel? And what they reported is what I thought would happen. That the quick one, then they went very much in automatic. So the shower, neutral. Themselves in the mirror, most of the time, unpleasant. Toilet, slightly unpleasant. Flower, pleasant. But once they stay with it, just looking at the shower, looking at themselves, looking at the toilet, looking at the flower, it became neutral. Because they were what they were. They came upon condition. This thing did not do anything to them. And by staying with it with awareness, they did not react automatically, and also they did not add anything. So they could just be peaceful with each of these things. And I thought that was an interesting kind of experience. And maybe you could also possibly play a little with this during our time together. So this is what I wanted, I would suggest that we do during the rest of the time together. So to continue to be aware, to focus on something in the experience, because generally this brings, help us to focus, to have something in the experience, that it be the body, that it be the sensation, the breath. Personally, I would recommend maybe now to move on to sound, but only if you're happy with sound, because I feel that when you focus on sounds, generally it helps you to open. Also with sounds, what is interesting is that generally you cannot control them. So you're just sitting there and you have to be with what is unpredictable. You cannot say how long it will last, you cannot, you know, dictate what's going to happen. And so it really puts us into this, what I call stable and open awareness. You just listen to whatever sounds arrive. Then the sound which comes and go, we can just notice, are they gone? When they arise, we can notice the feeling tone. Is there a feeling tone? Is it neutral, slightly pleasant, slightly unpleasant? If the sound continue, like the, for example, the AC, it's interesting to go inside the sound and to notice how it's fluid, how it's changing. And also it's interesting to notice with the sounds which continue a little, to notice how our feeling tone changes. For example, when I came, I know you might think I'm a little obsessed with the AC, but I generally don't sit with AC on because we're not in such hot environment. And I came, the last sitting, and I was very aware that some of you were cold or looked like they could be cold, and some of you might look like they were okay. And I could see within myself, thinking, what about the poor one who are cold? What about the hot one, you know? And I was kind of, I could see my mind moving, you know, a little. And then say, okay, it's the way it is. They're not dying of it, obviously. The cold one can put something on. The other one, are okay, let's just be with it. And then straight away, I went back to neutral. The same when I were starting to do the discussion. No AC, and it started to be hot. And then I could just feel. First it, it's hot. Slight feeling tone. Possibly towards slight unpleasant. It's hot. And then I could feel the whole organism actually stabilizing again in neutral. It's hot. Nobody is dying of it. It's just the way it is. Not doing anything with it. So in a way to kind of observe, it's not that we need to have the same feeling tone all the time. The feeling tone is going to change. But what is interesting is what do we do with the feeling tone? It's back to the underlying tendency, the Buddha was mentioning. What do we do with it? Do we just aware of it? And because we don't need to do anything with it, then we don't? Of course, if you were standing outside, and it was really hot, then you would not say, hot, unpleasant, I'm going to die of dehydration, but I'll stay there. No, you go under the shade or you go somewhere it's cool. You go drink water or whatever. So it's not, one has to be careful. That's why I talk of creative engagement. There is an experience, there is an awareness of the experience, and then the creative engagement with that experience. But when we sit in meditation, generally, there is very little we do. But what we can look at is how with the mind and the feeling, emotional feeling, we engage or not, we react or not. So that's what I would suggest for our time together. So now we can just stand up for just a minute to just stretch before the sitting meditation.